Let's talk about vaccines. This blog is really based on an interview with Shannon Schneider, PhD. I've written it back in February 12, 2015. I'm confused. I'm confused about vaccines. When I immigrated with my family to Los Angeles in order to attend school as an immigrant child, I had to prove that I had all my vaccinations. When my mom produced a handwritten paper from Eastern Europe, they could not make sense of the weirdness of the Hungarian language. And instead of trusting my mom, who has two PhDs on her own, they gave me all the vaccines again. My mom simply said, well, it's better to be cautious. Much later, when I applied for work at a research institute in Seattle, where we handled possibly contagious human blood, the first thing the workplace did was send me over to the hospital to review my vaccination record and to do a tuberculosis check. Of course, I received even more vaccines. All healthcare professionals have to have additional vaccines against hepatitis A and B and some other possible infections. During this visit with the nurse, I tested positive to the tuberculosis test. Of course, this was because everyone had to be vaccinated against TB in Eastern Europe. And if you do have the vaccination, then you carry the antibodies. This does not mean that I was sick. I just had the TB vaccine. When I looked up at the nurse's face, I realized she was quite nervous. I calmly pointed out again my old wrinkled paper from Hungary with the stamp indicating BCG, that is TB vaccine. In the US, they're no longer mandating TB and smallpox vaccines, both of which I had. Of course, this was the same confusing document that got the immigration nurse all worked up. And this time again, it created the same effect, which led me down a really uncomfortable couple of weeks with no work and a few chest x-rays. Finally, after spending much money and time, I was cleared to go to work and deemed infection-free. Clearly, possible infections are taken very seriously in this country. I knew this was protocol, but I was irritated and frustrated because by now, I knew very well the confusion and the double standards about vaccines in this country. This was also right about the time when I did a lot of travels in Southeast Asia. So there goes even more vaccines. I had the yellow fever, the Japanese encephalitis, the polio booster, the rabies, the typhoid, and the list goes on. So basically, I'm vaccinated against practically everything. My motto against viruses and bacteria is, hey, bring it on. I can take it. The reason I'm rambling about all my medical records is that I just don't get it. It never crossed my mind not to get vaccinated. As a matter of fact, since this country made sure that I had all this protection, I was absolutely flabbergasted to learn that American-born children don't have to go through all this rigor to go to school. Why the double standard? What will these unvaccinated children do if there is an outbreak? Or if they get lucky and there is no outbreak of any disease in their lifetime, what if they want to go travel or become researchers or doctors? I wanted to find out why people are scared to vaccinate their kids. To me, this concept was so foreign. Like I mentioned, I'm a naturalized citizen to the United States in a lot of ways. I am embedded in an American culture, but since I was born and raised in Europe, many of my thought processes are still stuck on the other side of the pond, so to speak. I don't understand why people are afraid of vaccines. I wanted to find out. Also, in the light of the recent outbreak of measles, I wanted to reach out to folks who may be confused about vaccines and they don't know where to look among so much information. Since I worked in an immunology lab, finding a PhD with immunology background was as easy as opening my contacts and calling my close friend Shannon. Shannon has a PhD in infectious disease from Notre Dame University. We both worked in the same institute on autoimmune diseases. Shannon also has 4 children that she raises in the Catholic faith. I hoped she would have some perspective of what is going on with all this confusion. I called her up. She was most excited to help. She asked me to send her some questions so she could prepare, quite typical of Shannon. Of course, last minute, she texts me that she has to take her oldest to the orthodontist, that she wants to help a lot, but would I mind coming along to the orthodontist? Of course, I just smiled. I adore her, and being a witness to her ever-growing family and ever-so-busy family, I learned to be part of this and just roll with the schedule changes. So on a rainy Seattle afternoon, we found ourselves huddled up in an orthodontist office full of kids. Somehow this made the interview ever more important. Being around children while talking about children's health was the perfect motivation for this article. I leaned close to Shannon and asked her almost in a hushing tone as not to be overheard. Shannon, I'm curious about your point of view. Why do you think some mothers are reluctant towards vaccination? To this she said, Dora, the second my firstborn came out of my belly, the only thing I wanted is to protect her against all and every possible harm. From the moment of her birth, there was nothing more important than my child. I think mothers everywhere are motivated from this very same instinct. Unfortunately, there is so much information and misinformation out there. It is hard to determine what is right. To compound the problem, the language of immunology is really difficult. Even well-educated folks struggle with making sense out of the publications, since the science is complicated and it is based on a vocabulary that is foreign to most people. I smiled because I recalled my own struggle in school making sense of antigens, antibodies, IgMs, CD8s, T lymphocytes, CD4, CD28, cytokines, chemokines. Oh, the list goes on. Yes, immunology is exciting. It is a micro world that is not visible to the eye. It has many different cells on a complex superhighway that navigate this internal world. To understand what goes on in the body on this level, you really need at least a few years of university level cell and immunobiology. Shannon continued, if you look at the vaccination data in schools, it tends to be the well-to-do districts that have lower vaccination rates. This is quite different from other countries where the poor are under-vaccinated and they're willing to walk for days with their child on their back to receive vaccines. Yes, exactly, I shouted. I just had to interrupt her. This is what I don't get. I had many conversations with other immigrants, for example, my friend from South Africa. He's just as lost as I am. He told me, if you don't get your vaccines, you get sick and die. It is as simple as that. So people take vaccinations very seriously. Yes, but in this country, people rarely ever get sick and hardly anybody dies. At this point, Shannon was clearly trying to lower my excitement with her voice since folks started looking at us. My laser vision could tell from the quality of stares who was pro and anti-vaccine in a single glance. Well, or at least my vivid imagination made people walk around with signs on their forehead for a brief minute. Okay, I said. So just for the record, are your kids vaccinated? To this, Shannon gave me a broad smile. Of course. I think it is apparent it is a matter of who you put your trust in. Do you trust the American Academy of Pediatricians to make safe recommendations for your kids' health? Or do you trust people outside of the academy who, in my opinion, have questionable backgrounds and don't have the training required to make recommendations for or against vaccines? But what about possible side effects? I asked. All medications can have possible side effects. Nobody's arguing against that. But the ratio of possible harm due to vaccines versus the possible harm of the disease that we are vaccinating against is so astronomically favoring vaccination that it is hard to put it into words, Shannon said. Okay. Some people question the ingredients in vaccines. Can you talk about that, Shannon? Yes, a lot of folks worry about the ingredients found in vaccines, like aluminum. This makes sense because you don't want to be injecting your child with something that might damage them, or in a more extreme case, to cause autism. However, there are great resources from CDC that clearly lists various ingredients found in all vaccinations used in the United States with the latest information on safety. Thanks, Shannon. These are really great websites. I didn't know that aluminum was found even in breast milks. There is some really useful information here. Those of you who are listening, go to my website and look up this blog, and there is a link here to that CDC site that we're talking about. So next I asked Shannon what other concerns she hears from parents. She said, well, vaccination schedule, they're worried that it is too much, too fast, and the child's system is not able to handle it. Ha, I thought. I was used as a pincushion by immigration and work immunization nurses. I scratched my head. But wait, if I remember well, I think the human body is built to handle a lot more, just a few invaders at a time. You're right, Dora. Imagine all the antigens or germs that a child is exposed to crawling around the ground or playing at the playground. Our immune system is highly capable of handling a large dose of germs at any given time. There are good resources for this too. Here I'm listing on my blog a handout by American Academy of Pediatrics on the most commonly asked questions on vaccine schedules. It's a PDF that you can pull off from my web. So we continued our conversation with Shannon. Next, I was curious about the argument that I heard from parents that these vaccines are not necessary anymore because the diseases are pretty much eradicated. But then I realized we just had this measles outbreak, so nature is definitely here to prove otherwise. To this, Shannon just looked really sad and said, yes, unfortunately, there are a lot of case studies out there still with horrible, horrible diseases. She led me to another website that I list on this blog. It is a list of testimonials of heartbreaking stories from preventable diseases that vaccines could have prevented. It is a sad read, but it is a worthwhile read if you wish to go on it. So at this point, I took a deep breath in the conversation and I just said to myself, well, the herd is breaking down. I remembered learning about herd immunity. It is the idea that if enough people are vaccinated, then the few that are not vaccinated can be protected just by being surrounded by folks who are vaccinated and thus will not pass the disease. Since the disease is relying on human-to-human jumps, if it jumps mostly to humans with vaccines where it is destroyed, it cannot continue jumping. So far in the United States, those parents who are afraid of vaccines were protected from the disease by other people who were willing to get vaccinated. The World Health Organization recommends vaccination of 95% of the population to ensure herd immunity and prevent outbreak of measles. As long as the number of people not getting vaccinated is very low, it sort of works because the herd of vaccinated folks can form like a thick barrier around them. This is why all of us immigrants are vaccinated to almost a porcupine state. In essence, what the CDC is doing is trying to isolate the U.S. as much as possible to protect its citizens from itself. But now more and more children are not getting vaccinated, so the herd is breaking down. This is all compounded by the fact that global travel is easy and fast. Countries are no longer isolated. Once the herd is not thick enough for protection, these illnesses will jump around again, killing and injuring children. So it really comes down to common sense. Even if we suppose that there are side effects to vaccines, if we don't vaccinate, morbidity and death rates of infants and children will rise significantly. Maybe we have forgotten how few children survived into adulthood without vaccines. So the choice is either take vaccines that may or may not have side effects that we have not determined yet, or to allow people to not vaccinate and guarantee that an epidemic will make many children die and suffer. We are fortunate enough to be the first generation in the United States that has not experienced a horrible outbreak. This places us into a false sense of security. Vaccines protect us against horrible diseases, but we no longer see these diseases. We see autism is on a rise, so mothers are asking what to do. On one hand, mothers have an illness that they have seen face to face, such as autism, and on the other hand, they have a bunch of illnesses that they only heard about in the doctor's office. With vaccines, we're fighting conceptual evil while there are more and more touchable problems in our current society. But these conceptual evils are very much real. The only thing that keeps them away from us is mass vaccinations. I wonder just how much thinning of the herd is necessary before people start getting really, really sick. Below, I list some additional information sites on vaccines that I received from Shannon. I highly recommend you find these links on my web. And they're really easy to find because they're highlighted purple. So if you don't want to read the whole article, you can just jump to the purple links. There are also specific handouts on vaccines as well. So I do thank you for your time, and hope I see you again or listen to you again.